You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
If you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast. Single item at regular price. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
In uncertain times, we could use someone to lean on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma will stand by you with plan options to fit your budget. If you've recently lost your job, had a baby, or moved, you can still get the healthcare coverage you and your family need. Financial help may be available for those who qualify. Call 855-452-BLUE or visit hereforyouok.com to see if you're eligible to enroll. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a Mutual Legal Reserve Company.
There's nothing more predictable in life than the unexpected. Lightning will always strike. Hail will fall on roofs. Fortunately, there's AAA. AAA has been helping members stay prepared for over 100 years. So when unusual storms, fallen debris, or sudden leaks happen, you'll be covered. Check, check, and check. Get the home and auto insurance you need by talking with a AAA insurance agent today. Visit AAA.com/insurance or stop by your local AAA store.
In uncertain times, we could use someone to lean on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma will stand by you with plan options to fit your budget. If you've recently lost your job, had a baby, or moved, you can still get the healthcare coverage you and your family need. Financial help may be available for those who qualify. Call 855-452-BLUE or visit hereforyouok.com to see if you're eligible to enroll. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a Mutual Legal Reserve Company.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, $1,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Do something.
Absolutely.
You know what we gotta do?
Foga party.
Foga! Foga!
Foga! Foga!
Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga!
Click, click, boom! I'm coming down on the stereo, hit me on the radio. Click, click, boom!
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday night right here on KLRN Radio. I am one half of the crew, Mr. Rick Robinson. He's the other half, Mr. Dan Wright. Sorry for the late start. Had a family thing come up at about 5:30 my time, and just got it wrapped up a few minutes ago, so we're going to finish off the rest of the night. As far as I know, it's going to be me and Dan, and then me and Ordy, and who knows, at some point it may be me, Dan, and Ordy. Who the hell knows? Because it's just one of those nights. But anyway, so we're here. We're live. It's the Robinson and Wright Show. It hasn't been the Robinson and Wright Show in a while, so I almost said the wrong thing again. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, you know... You're using that tone.
I'm home and I'm on the air, so I'm good.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. It's, you know, and again, I said it the last time we were on the air. I understand because I see it because I go grocery shopping. Yeah, we got some inflation issues. I think we're pretty much in a recession. Not affecting my business at all. We're like backlogged for months right now. What's that?
No, I was going to say, that's the funny thing, though, is you have all of these, you know, these financial experts that are like, recession is looming, recession is looming. I'm like, dude, have you looked at the prices of everything? We're in a recession now. We're rounding the corner to a depression if shit don't change. Don't tell me a recession is looming. We're in a recession now. I mean, look at the price of everything. Yeah. I mean, I just saw a bunch of numbers today. The price of milk is up like 14%. The price of eggs is up like, 12%. There's a bunch of different things that came out either yesterday or today, and I saw them, and I could literally, when I saw everything was pointing in the upward direction, I could actually feel my sphincter pucker. It's like,
I was at the grocery store on Sunday, and they had T-bones on sale for $8.99, and I was like,
on sale.
Yeah, well, and that's, I mean, right now, that's a good price. And I was like, you know what? And I'm thinking through. We had to plan our meals out because of work schedules and everything else. I was like, Thursday. Thursday we could do steaks, but I don't want steaks sitting in the fridge till Thursday. Okay, fine. I'll buy them. Flash freeze those things. I just took them out of the freezer tonight so that we can have them tomorrow night because, you know, cattle dying all over the place inexplicably. The price of meat already sky high. It might be the last steak I eat.
Well, I mean, according to Fox News, they had a cattle expert on that explained all of that and said, you know, it's not that uncommon during heat waves for large amounts of cattle to suddenly drop dead. That was Fox News. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? I have family that are cattle ranchers. No.
Yeah. Fox News is broadcasting fluff trans your kids freaking stories now. So, I mean, Fox News cannot be trusted for anything. Not that any media should be trusted, but I live in North Carolina. We're in the middle of this heat wave. We're pushing 100 almost every day with massive humidity. And where I live, I am surrounded by cattle farms. Nobody's cows are dying. Nobody's cows are dying.
Yeah, no.
10,000 cattle don't just drop dead simultaneously over a weekend.
Not unless
it doesn't happen.
Not unless Jeff's people are hanging around.
Yeah, I said.
It's been
stock and beyond and impossible.
it's been a while since you've hung out at the station. I keep forgetting that I don't know if you know that Jeff, our resident beer dude, has come out as an alien. So he's
hey, good for
so. Anytime you start making cattle mutilation jokes, it always makes me think of Jeff.
Like I said, work is incredibly busy. I'm grateful for it because I quite obviously need the money. I'm sitting here. Okay, so what we use at work is I don't know if you know about it, something called Divvy,
mm-hmm.
right? Where we have credit cards, but they're not credit cards. They're funded by the company. We got away from, I mean, it's a smart move. We got away from paying interest on, you know, we have company-wide, you know, like 70 techs, 70 vans on the road. So instead of using credit cards, we use a company fund that funds our Divvy cards. I keep having to request more money because I am putting right now $600 a week in gas in my van, in my work truck. $600 a week.
Ouch.
Yeah, and that's at $100. That's at $100 a fill up because I can't fill it up. My van hasn't been full in weeks because every pump cuts you off at $100. And it takes over $100 to fill my truck.
Yeah, go
figure. It's ridiculous.
So, Rooster.
But it's Putin. That dastardly Putin.
Well, so to back up a second, Rooster has an interesting question in the chat. What did those 10,000 cattle know about Hillary Clinton? Just saying.
We solved it. We solved it. So now her death toll has doubled.
Yeah, I would say that's at least double. The interesting thing is if you listen to this administration, they don't seem to know what it is that they're saying, how they're going to say it, when they're going to say it, or if they're going to say it. Because on one hand, you have the president strictly stating his case that he has no control over gas prices. Then you have his mouthpiece that replaced Peppermint Psaki, say that the president has a plan to address gas prices, and somebody was like, but I thought the president didn't control gas prices. And she was just like, I got nothing. this woman was not prepared for this job. I mean, at least Psaki could, you know, lie in a circle. So, I mean, it worked out.
Oh, yeah. I actually, in a way, I kind of miss Psaki. I really do. Because she made it interesting.
I mean, at least this one, lie.
This one can't. This one can't even. She can't lie, and she can't keep anything straight. And she's got a rifle through her freaking binder constantly. She's like, "But hey,
was that a homophobic slur, sir? She can't keep anything straight."
She's a black, gay, immigrant woman. So she's perfect for the job.
Except she can't talk her way out of a paper bag, and she can't keep up with the shit she's supposed to be saying. I'm literally,
She probably can't define what a woman is.
Well, no, of course,
but she's a woman.
You know, she can't do that. So.
Oh, I sit here and I go, okay. You know, people aren't buying into any of this crap. This is great. And then I said it. I said all the Republicans have to do, all they have to do is nothing. Like I said with Joe Biden. I mean, honestly, I said Joe Biden could have been the greatest, go down as the greatest president in American history.
And all they had to do was sit behind the desk.
All he had to do was in the basement and drink Metamucil and watch Matlock. That's all he had to do.
It's murder.
That's all he had to do. But then the Republicans come out and let's just do a real vague bill on red flag laws so we can stop shootings. Really? Is that what's going to do it?
Is that what's going to do it?
Let's just do a vague bill on red flag laws. Really vague, you know, so that, you know, like my ex-wife can call the FBI and say I'm a threat to myself and then I lose my guns. That's a good plan.
What guns?
Good plan, Republicans.
What guns?
Good plan, yeah.
Exactly. My guns went down in a tragic boating accident and I have no idea what you're referencing, sir.
Right, that meme is coming right back. You watch. That meme is coming right back with a vengeance because I get it. I understand. Okay, so you've got some kid that likes to just kill cats in his spare time and threaten girls that don't want anything to do with them. Okay. Yeah, maybe there's a red flag there. But don't put out a vague red flag law that basically just says, yeah, we're just going to help the states fund their red flag law problems, you know, for anybody that's a threat to themselves or somebody else. Oh, really? Because I think I have leftists telling me all the time that I'm a threat to them and they should take my guns. So how does this work? It's an 80-page bill that, as Marco Rubio said, I was given an hour to look it over before we had to sit down and start really debating on passing it. Really? Hour. 80-page bill. It's in it's McConnell. All the squishes. You know, I will credit McConnell for one thing. Judges. That's it. Everything else, he's just a stupid squish. And it's why I can't be a Republican. I can't. I do want to see the Republicans take the House and Senate, but the way things are going, just keep it up, guys. You won't do it. You won't do it. You just gotta, they cannot go against the grain ever. And if you're not going to go against the grain, then forget it. We're just done. This thing's done. It's over. I mean, and there's some Republicans that have pleasantly surprised me, to be honest. You know, ones that I thought were going to be squishy and aren't. And that's great. But it's the same old... When are we going to get all of these freaking 80-year-olds out of government?
I don't know.
When,
that's been a question I've been asking now for over a decade.
When is it the boomers quit running the country?
Yeah, the funny
that's
thing
what
is,
I want.
Now you start hearing it, and it's happening again, because you're starting to see all these Gen Z and millennials that are like, all these boomers need to leave the government so we can get elected. And Gen X is just sitting here going, hello, we were here first.
What's up? What happened to us?
We were here first! It's not our fault. These bastards won't let anything go. But I don't know. I just, the whole thing annoys the shit out of me. I mean, because if you look at the average age of Congress right now, they can all be on retirement. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and I won't 100% slam McConnell. He's done some things I like, but he's still a power guy. I'm tired of these power guys. I'm tired of all of them. Come in and just do your job. Do the job that you know, you're a Republican. Act like a Republican. Act like a Republican from when I was a Republican. Stop acting like a Republican that is afraid of Nancy Pelosi.
I mean, well, here's the thing.
Stop.
You have the outliers, which are, you know, still considered Republicans, and everyone else is basically either communist or communist light. It's kind of where we are right now.
Because, pretty much.
And
I mean, like, one of the ones that has pleasantly surprised me, and you know I rallied against him because I actually kind of volunteered and did some work on Austin Peterson's campaign, but it's Josh Hawley. I really slammed that dude, and I slammed him for good reason, but since he's been in the Senate, he's one of the dudes that's actually impressed me. He's not afraid to stand up and question people. He's impressed me. And that's coming from somebody who, again, is not a Republican, because I want to be a Republican. I grew up a Republican. But I can't because of people like McConnell and Lindsey Graham. And these guys, it's like, just go away. Go away. Just go away and let somebody else. If we lose the spot, we lose the spot. Whatever. It just it's so frustrating. When I heard this today, it just frustrated me beyond belief. I was like, why you're giving Biden a win? You're giving him a win, and I hear people say, well, yeah, it's a kind of a political move so that in the elections in November, they can't sit there and say the Republicans did nothing. Well, yeah, but are you really going to take that and sacrifice people's rights to keep and bear arms? Is that worth the sacrifice?
Well, that's the thing.
You didn't need it. Just run on the economy is all you have to do. You don't have to side with the Democrats on something.
But that's just it. That's the part that we have to come to terms with. The people that are siding with the Democrats on this shit actually want to side with the Democrats on this shit. This isn't about trying to save their seat. This isn't about trying to take away a political talking point. These people want the same fucking things, and we need to come to terms with that, because we have been playing this game too long where we think, well, you know, these guys are okay because they at least do this and they do this. The problem is they're not doing that anymore. The masks have come off. Everybody that considers themselves a political elite, it doesn't matter what the letter behind their name is anymore, because they all want the same shit. And they're telling us they all want the same shit, but we're not listening. This is how and why nothing is ever going to get fixed. Because we have become so used to them telling us what we need, when we need it, and how we need it, that most of us just bend over and take it. And there aren't enough of us left willing to stand up and say no. If anything, COVID-19 proved that hands down, because we all went home.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think... here's the problem. I think it is changing. I think it is. I think the tide is shifting, but I think the tide is shifting too late. It's just shifting too late. That's the problem. I mean, you see, the Democrats are turning parents into literally they're turning parents into a political group. They are. And parents are railing against this shit. And it's great. But is it too late? Is it too late? No matter how much I see parents railing against it, I hear about school systems doing this and school systems doing that, and they don't care. They don't care what the parents want.
That's because
they don't care.
That's because
they want their agenda.
That's because under the NEA, they all have the same agenda now. They don't care. This is why I'm so concerned. And I get it. I understand what you're saying about the tide trying to turn. People seem like they're finally waking up. The problem is all the damage has already been done. I don't know how we fix this without gutting it and starting over, because it's infiltrated everything. You remember when we were kids and they were talking about, you know, quoting like Stalin, we're not going to kill you from the outside, we're going to kill you from the inside. And no, that's not what he said, but I'm trying to save time. That's exactly what they've done. They've come in and taken everything over and gutted it from the inside out, and they're all in charge now.
Well, yeah, they've taken over every aspect of culture. Media, schools. Well, that's the big two right there. That you can leave it at that right there. Media and schools. And I'm not just talking about news media. I'm talking about media in general. I cannot tell you, honestly, the last big budget Hollywood movie I've watched. Because I've lost interest because every one of them has a political message in it. Every one of them. I don't want to watch them. I won't watch them. I don't have cable. I don't go see movies. I don't do any of that. I love movies. I just won't do it. I won't. Because there's going to be a point in every fucking Hollywood movie where I go, oh, there it is. Every single one.
Actually, I can say there may be one, but that's only because they told China to fuck off. The Top Gun sequel is actually probably
one. And of I've heard it's excellent.
It's really, and it's I really will good.
Probably eventually watch it.
Yeah, I made a promise to myself, because in 1986... my dad and I took my younger brother to go see Transformers the movie, because, you know, I was like 13, still a Transformers fan, kind of. And we accidentally walked into the wrong theater, and we saw the opening of Top Gun before we realized we were in the wrong theater. And then we walked to the right theater, and about 10 minutes, maybe 20 minutes into the movie, my brother's sitting between me and my dad and I look at each other, and we're like, we should have stayed in the other theater. That movie was trash. But I made a promise to myself after not seeing the original Top Gun in the theaters that if they ever made a sequel, I was going to be there. And I was on opening weekend, so because it was
I heard it's fantastic, and I'm glad. And I've heard that I mean, Cruise pulled no stops with the making of that movie. I mean, I heard that, you know, that you don't have to sit there and go, yeah, the CGI was great. I heard that it was actual real time stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it was old school, it was amazing. Really good. But yeah, I mean, it had the Top Gun kitsch, but I mean, honestly, overall, one of the first things, honestly, I don't know if anybody knows this, but because it took so long for that movie to get released, the people that actually own the material are suing them now because they said that their right to use the movie had already expired by the time it finally aired. Because it got tied up in production, and that's what happened. This movie was originally supposed to come out pre-COVID, and then COVID happened, and then the production delays, and then China got pissed off when they finally started seeing some of the cuts, and then they ordered that they do things like airbrush some of the patches off of Cruise's jacket, and they wanted them to do this, and they wanted them to do that, and eventually China just said, no, this movie's too pro-American, we're out anyway. So they lost almost a third of their funding and had to go find it again. So by the time they found funding, they just put all the shit China hated back in the movie and China banned it. So, whatever.
Good. I you and I touched on a little bit a couple weeks ago. You know, you do have companies like the Daily Wire that are putting out non-woke freaking material. I mean, they just last week released, when Gina Carano got canceled by Disney, they brought in Gina Carano. They said, let's make a movie. And she produced it and starred in it. It has Nick Searcy in it. It's called Terror on the Prairie. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but the reviews of it are freaking amazing. Because it's just a freaking Western, a real Western with no message in it, no woke messaging or anything. You know, and they're making content. You know, they don't have huge $1 billion budgets to make movies, but they're doing it off of subscriptions. That's all they're doing it off of. And they're doing it. They're doing it. They're making great content. They have two original movies, and I believe it's two movies that they optioned and got because they really liked them. And then they have their documentaries, like obviously What is a Woman, which is tearing it up. It's tearing it up. They still can't get enough critics to review it to get a critic score on Rotten Tomatoes, but it has a 98% viewer score on Rotten Tomatoes. But they're doing it. They're like, yeah, we're just going to make content. We're going to make content. And I would like to see more companies try to follow that. And the reason why they won't go after any backing is because as soon as you go after backing, the company that backs you is going to start coming in and going, well, we want you to do this and we don't want this in there. They don't want that. They're doing it on their own. They're doing it totally on their own. And I mean, they got Nick Searcy, you know, who obviously can tend to be blackballed by Hollywood. But he's a great actor. And I've talked to a couple people that have watched it, and they said it's an amazing movie. It's an amazing Western. It makes you it brings you back to when a good Western was a good Western. And more companies need to start doing that. You know, more companies need to start going, you know what? We're done with this. And that's apparently what Tom Cruise did with Top Gun. You know, and he was, if I'm not mistaken, Tom Cruise was the executive producer. And he said, no, we're just making a movie. We don't want it to be, you know, have any freaking wokeness or anything else in it. We want to make a real movie. And he made a real movie. More people need to start doing that. You know, we got Disney. You've got executive producers for Disney that are saying the quiet part out loud. They're saying the quiet part out loud. That we do not want to produce anything that does not have in some way, somehow, some LGBTQ content in it. And it's kids' movies. It's movies for kids. I don't want my grandchildren to, you know, and the new Buzz Lightyear movie, it bombed this past weekend. It bombed. You know why it bombed? Because people don't want to take their kids to a movie and have their kids asking them all kinds of questions after the movie about why were those two ladies kissing. It bombed. It cost $250 million to make that movie. It was projected to do like $120 million on opening weekend. It did $51
million. Oops.
Yeah. Top Gun beat it out. That's been out for a month. And the new Jurassic Park movie beat it out that came out the weekend before. And they were expecting this huge Father's Day weekend. All the dads are going to take their kids to see Lightyear. And it bombed.
Yeah, well, you know, couldn't happen to a nicer flick. I was already pissed off anyway, because, I mean, the whole idea of let's not use Tim Allen as the voice of Buzz Lightyear was just fucking retarded. I mean, you know, because everybody knows...
That was the other thing. That's the other thing that killed it, is no Tim Allen. How do you do Buzz Lightyear without Tim Allen? How do you do that?
I mean, so, well, their thinking was, this is the story of the man that led to the toy, is how they explained away using a different actor for the voice. And I'm just thinking, yeah, because everybody knows that you don't want the toy to have the same voice as the actual guy. That explanation makes zero sense. Let's face it. It's because Tim Allen is conservative and you knew he would have thrown a fit about the cartoon chicks kissing. That's why it happened. Come on now.
That's absolutely why it happened. And people are sick of it. People are sick of it. When you have, I mean, how huge is the Toy Story franchise? I mean,
huge still.
That original Toy Story is the movie that put Pixar on the map.
Pretty much.
It's huge. It's huge. And for it to have an opening weekend, a quarter of a billion-dollar movie to have an opening weekend of $51 million on Father's Day weekend when they were expecting all the dads to take their kids to the movies, that's bad. You know, a lot of people go, well, $51 million, that's a pretty good opening. Not for a Toy Story Pixar flick, it's not. That's a terrible opening. It's horrible. And that's good. That goes back to, again, where I said, the tides are turning, but is it too late? Is it too late? You know, I go to, you know, I work in hospitals constantly. And, you know, I got these hospitals and they've got these signs on the front door that says LGBTQ friendly. We are rated as a top medical center for LGBTQ. Wait a minute. You should just be a top medical center for human beings that walk in to get medical attention.
You would think. I mean, you know, if I have, you know, if I'm, you know, sick, I don't really, you know, who I sleep with should be irrelevant.
Well, who you sleep with, but it can boil down to, it's, what are they saying? Like, come here and we'll cut your genitals off for you? Is that what they're saying?
Probably.
I don't know what they're
probably, because, you know. But the thing about it is, you know, we touched on this earlier about the infiltration in this country. The Alphabet Mafia is one of the biggest perpetrators of the infiltration that we're talking about. Because if you talk to most everybody that identifies as part of that Alphabet Mafia, they think capitalism is terrible. Capitalism is the evil that is destroying the world. That and heteronormies.
But here's the kind of the thing that Alphabet Mafia, that LGBTQ plus IA, LMNOP, you know, tilde, ampersand, whatever the hell it is, do you know the people that are starting to get really pissed off about it? The LGB. Because here's the thing. The LGB basically relies upon the fact that men are men and women are women. And once you hit the T and all of the other non-binary bullshit that they put in there, a lot of people that are just in the LGB are kind of like, yeah, y'all are taking this a little too far. Because you're literally, it's a contradiction once you add that T. Because lesbian, gay, and bi depends on the binary of men and women. And, I mean, I personally know quite a few gay people that really think the LGBTQIA plus, minus, ampersand, whatever, they're like, yeah, this is bullshit. It's all bullshit. They really don't, for the most part, I'm starting to see, I don't think they have a whole lot of support from the LGB. It's all the CQ+ and everybody else.
And well, I mean, and that's just the thing, you know. When it was LGBT, how was it really? Because it didn't actually used to have the T. It used to be LGBTQ. It used to be LGBTQ back in the day because it was lesbian, bisexual, gay, or questioning. Or was how they put it, because it was LGB, right, and it became LGBQ.
Then they changed Q to queer.
Yeah,
and with queer, you've got. Do you know how all these they talk about all these people now, all these Gen Zers that they're all identifying as LGBTQ, but they're all like a major portion of them are heterosexuals. They just identify that way because by identifying that way, they can be part of the gang.
They're part of the in crowd,
right?
I mean, that's
they can sit there and say, "Yeah, well, I'm really not sure." You know, I'm a dude. I'm really not sure, but all I want to do is date and have sex with girls. Okay, well, that pretty much just makes you a heterosexual dude.
Pretty much,
but I mean, they're going to identify that way because that puts them in the in crowd, that puts them in the protected crowd. It's a protection thing. It's a religion.
Yeah, well,
it's a freaking religion.
Eventually, what it's going to be is they're going to identify as non-binary that like to sleep with women. That's what it's going to be.
Right. I'm not binary, but I like women. Or I'm not binary, but I like men. Okay, well, no, you're a heterosexual. Snap out of it and get a job.
Oh, it's just all crazy. But the funny thing is, you're right. It's becoming its own religion. I mean, we have all of these things in this country that have replaced faith because, you know, faith is bad now because everybody misread some letters from Thomas Jefferson talking about the separation of church and state doctrine. So now we have this whole thing where we don't think our government can support any type of religion at all. When the simple fact of the matter is, the only thing the separation clause intended was to make sure that there was never a Church of the United States of America, and there was never a George Herbert Walker Bush version of the Bible. That's why these people left England in the first place, was because the king took over their religion and made it his own. And he changed everything. So this idea that we can't even... I mean, that's like everybody throws a fit because now they have to have all the different religions praying in Congress. No, they don't. That's not even what that doctrine is about. If the majority of the people in Congress have a particular faith, it's fine for them to have people pray there. If they want other faiths to pray there, great. But let's stop this crap where they have to.
Well, yeah, and this came up today with this Supreme Court ruling on, okay, so up in Maine, basically they have a program, because you have a lot of rural areas in Maine, they have a program where if you don't really have, instead of building high schools, they give vouchers so that kids can attend private schools. Great. Or attend a high school that's not in their county, which costs tuition, right? But they had a rule that the school couldn't be a religious school. It couldn't be a Catholic school or a Jewish school. And the Supreme Court shot that down. And everybody's saying, well, it's separation of church and state. It's not separation of church and state. The state is giving the parent a voucher. And then the parent is deciding where to use that voucher. And the Supreme Court agrees with that. The Supreme Court agrees, yes, it's the parent and the student deciding where to use that voucher. But the left wants religion abolished. Religion as we know it.
They don't want religion abolished. They want the religion of the state above all. That's what they want.
That's where I was getting to. They want all actual religion to be private, but they want their religion to be public. They are actually pushing for state mandated religion because it's their religion, but they don't call it religion, so it's not religion. But it is religion. It is religion.
No, I mean, it's 100% religion. I mean, you have the secular humanist religion, which is now prominent in D.C. You have the LGBTQ alphabet mafia religion that is now prevalent in D.C. I mean, it's just, it's everywhere. But that's just it. They don't call them that. But that's where the fervor comes from. When they look at you and say, there's no way you can tell me there are only two genders because I know what I feel. That's not science. That's faith.
Right. And facts don't care about your feelings.
Because that...
Facts don't...
That's the truth of it. There are two genders. Anything else is an anomaly. Anything else is an outlier. I know that there are people that are born with extra chromosomes, and there are people that are born with extra chromosomes in certain patterns that make weird things happen, but those people are outliers. 99.9% of our population is a binary population. It is male, female. It's pretty simple, because that's how we procreate. That may change 1,000, 150,000, whenever years from now, but as of right now, that's how we procreate. That's how we keep our species going. And the other thing that nobody's talking about is while we're talking about all these gender pronouns and love is love and all these things, the world population is declining at an astronomical rate. Stacy and I talked about this a little bit yesterday. The only place with an increasing population, I believe, I think it's Hungary. Because they're actually doing things to incentivize people having kids. You want to know why Putin is on the march in Ukraine? It's not what everybody thinks it is. I mean, it's twofold. One, he's crazy. I'm sorry, I know Stacy doesn't like it when I say that, but she's not here. So one, he's crazy. 2, he has dreams of rebuilding the Soviet Empire. 3, he wants to bring as many Russians back to Russia as possible because their population is declining. You know why China's eyeing Taiwan? Because their population is declining. Duh. I mean, China has even lifted the you can't have more than one kid thing, and people are still like, yeah, we're not. There's not enough women for us to have kids with. We can't. There are literally millions of men in China that will never be able to have children because there are no women for them to sleep with.
Yeah, and I'm okay. I mean, the world population declining is a bad thing. Now, there is a glimmer of hope, a slight glimmer of hope. Did you know that last year the marriage rate in this country actually went up?
Actually, I thought I saw numbers.
That that's a glimmer of hope.
But anyway, I could have misread it.
The birth rate didn't go up, but the marriage rate went up. That's kind of a good thing. We need the birth rate to go up. We're still at, what, 1.7?
Yeah, it's like 1.6, 1.7, somewhere around there.
Yeah. But yeah, no, but I think if this... And I'm expecting it this week. We'll see. But if this decision on Roe versus Wade comes down, that's going to be a really good thing for this country. And not just because I'm pro-life, but I think it's going to be a really good thing for the birth rate. I really do.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, literally, we're killing thousands of babies a week because just nobody wants them. I mean, look,
there's these ghouls out there pushing it like it's the greatest thing ever. It kills me. I don't know if you saw the Washington Post had an article and it was about this girl in Texas who had twins, right? Well, she found out she was pregnant like 2 days before the 6-week ban went in place in Texas, and she couldn't get an abortion, right? So the Washington Post does this story on this, thinking that it's just going to be like, see what happens. Well, so this girl, she's 18 years old, right? So she couldn't get an abortion, so she goes into a pro-life pregnancy place to get an ultrasound and everything else. She wants to find out, you know, because it's the heartbeat law. Does the baby have a heartbeat? And she goes in there, she has her ultrasound and everything, and then they go, well, yes, the baby has a heartbeat, but the babies have a heartbeat. You have twins, right? So she ends up having the babies, right? And she ends up having the babies, and they're going through like this whole thing, like, oh, you know, she's in her room and she's pumping breast milk and putting it into a bottle to feed one baby while she feeds the other baby, and all this hardship and blah blah blah. But they get down to the end of it, and you know, and there's a whole thing in the middle of how she's talking about, well, what she would be doing if she didn't get pregnant, you know, and all these things she would be doing and everything else. Well, she ends up marrying her boyfriend. They have the two babies. They're living with his dad. He's probably going to go into the Air Force to get them the medical coverage they need. And they got married and they have these two babies. And she says she would never go back. But the Washington Post does this article basically trying to push the fact that the Texas law is so abusive because now this girl has two kids. But she's happy with her two kids. She's happy. She said she would never go back.
That's the one thing that I can say is
the article is a pro-abortion article.
Well, that's the one thing that I can say is until I had kids, I had no idea what a difference it would make. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, say what you want, but I was a young kid, dumb, and I started having kids really, really young, for me anyway. I was 20. I didn't know about the first one technically when I was 20. But until years later, but, and then, you know, I mean, I'm 49 now. My oldest is about to be 30. So, I mean, I've been having kids for a while. So that's kind of, but the whole reason I bring this up is, you know, none of them were planned really, but I wouldn't change any of it because having my kids made me, I mean, as much as I hate to say this, in some ways, because I always felt I was pretty responsible, but having my kids helped me finish growing up because I realized there were people that were depending on me now. And I couldn't just, you know, go be Superman or whatever.
Right. That's the whole thing. And that's what this whole article was meant to be, an article against the heartbeat bill in Texas. And then you read the article, and it's literally a pro-life article. It's a pro-life article. And I think they're so, I don't know if it's naive or just so sadistic. They put a picture in the article of her sitting there with the two babies in front of her, laying down, and she's like, you know, getting ready to change them or whatever. And it's a beautiful picture. And it's like, basically, the person from the, I can't remember her name, from the Washington Post that wrote the article, she's basically in the article saying that it would be better off if these two beautiful babies right here in the picture were dead.
Yeah, but that's what they think.
Yeah.
They literally see
children would have a better life if she didn't have the beautiful babies that she loves. it's insane. It's insanity. That's all I can say. It's complete insanity.
I mean, it literally is. It's just nuts. But yeah, so, you know, in case you're wondering.
But her now husband, really mm-hmm. quick, her now husband, who's like this skater bro, now he's ready to go into the military. You know, and she even says, you know, she's like, you know, it's going to be hard having him gone and basic training and everything else, but, you know, it's what's best for us. So, you know, he's hanging up his skateboard and joining the real world because he realizes, I have a wife and two babies I need to take care of. And this is looked at as bad by the Washington Post. It's looked at as a bad thing.
Well, of course it is, because, you know, to them, children are nothing but an albatross around your neck. Because they don't understand.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they are, but it's a good albatross.
Oh, anyway. Oh. So what else you got?
Sorry, I had to threat. Gee, what else is going on in the world? Oh, the Air Force. We brought up the Air Force. Let's bring up the Navy.
Do we have to?
The Navy. Their new program to make sure that everybody in the Navy has a safe space and everybody's using proper pronouns.
Well, I mean, you know, you're only wanting to bring up the Navy because it's Pride Month. Come on now.
Well, apparently, because in the Navy, you know, everybody has to have their safe space, and you must know how to use your proper pronouns. Forget the fact that our Navy right now probably couldn't handle a two-front war. Who cares about that? As long as everybody's happy because, you know, everybody's calling you they, them. Because that's what you want to be called. I am not kidding.
Well, it's a, well, it doesn't actual surprise me. They're doing the same thing at West Point.
Everybody in the Navy is required to watch to make sure they all know how to use proper pronouns.
It's not just the Navy, though. They're doing the same thing at West Point.
It's ridiculous. I mean, at this point, I really think I probably need to get a Rosetta Stone account and start learning how to speak Chinese.
I'm ready to buy an island. I'm just going to move.
How much money you got, bro?
We're not talking about that on the air, sir. start crowdfunding.
I mean, at least if I learn how to speak Chinese, maybe I can negotiate with them when they take us over.
There's no negotiating with communists, sir.
I mean, how do you say, I don't know, I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to think about having to learn how to speak an Asian language because they're ridiculously hard. My architecture teacher in high school taught it was an extracurricular class, taught Japanese. He tried to get me to go and do it. I went and sat through one freaking class and I was like, yeah, no, this ain't happening.
Well, I mean,
I am not going to learn how to speak Japanese.
It's really hard anyway, because, learning to speak a language is one thing. Learning to read it, especially when it's not in the same format we're used to, is 100% harder. So, I mean, most of the languages that we learn in school, they're still based on, left, right, top, bottom, like we're used to as far as reading. With Asian cultures, it's top, bottom, left, right. So, and you'll see this sometimes in one of these memes I keep seeing pop up all over the place. If you read it the way it's intended, it makes sense because of who put it up. But if you read it the way we read things, it makes you think you should go commit suicide.
the hardest thing about, and it's not quite the same with Chinese, but the hardest thing about Japanese is that the symbols are words for the most part. They're not letters. You have to learn a symbol for every word.
I mean, a lot of Asian languages are that way. Japanese is kind of a hybrid. It has a little bit of both. But yeah, I mean,
yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. That makes me feel like I have a real low IQ. Because I need a whole bunch of symbols to make word.
Well, I mean, then that's just like, in the Chinese language, the word opportunity and crisis, they're exactly the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, but this is the way I look at it with like Japanese. It's like we have an alphabet. And then we have a dictionary of words. They just have a dictionary. That's all they have is a dictionary. Because every word will have a definition. And the definition is a bunch of words. Not a bunch of letters making words. But a bunch of words. That's crazy.
Confusing, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Confucius say
white makes man. Me love. Confucius say it makes white me man love confused. The English language.
Confucius say white man confused.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he tried. He was like, man, you really need to come in. Come in. I made it through one. I told him, I said, man, I got wrestling and cross country and working at McDonald's to worry about. I can't learn a dictionary. I just can't do it.
Just tell him, that that's what you just hold up two fingers, domo arigato, Mr. Roboto, I'm out.
Done. But hey, I give it to He was the paciest white dude you ever met, and he could fluently speak Japanese and read it.
Oh.
It also made me go, why are you teaching high school?
Probably because he was bored. Yeah, I'm fluent in Spanish. I understand and speak some French and Italian because they're neighbor languages. And then, of course, Latin, which is the parent of them all. I like to weird people out with Latin sometimes.
Like, I'm fluent in Spanish as long as it is me asking you if you want to go to the beach.
Fluent in Spanish as long as it involves how do we get to the beach, where's the bathroom, and where's the tequila. That's Dan's speech.
Pretty much, Spanish. Yeah. That's how I am.
That's Dan's.
Vamos a la playa. Vamos a la playa. Let's go to the beach.
¿Dónde está el baño? Where's the bathroom?
Where's the bathroom?
And then the other one is... Where's the bathroom?
Wait, you have to add to it. Because you have to... It needs to be, where's the bathroom? I drank the water.
Oh, man. It's been too long since I've conjugated that style of verb. I can't do it in my head anymore. I used to be fairly fluent in Spanish because I used to work a lot of Spanish clubs and grocery stores when I ran security. And I used to freak people out because they would start talking in Spanish because they didn't think I understood them. And then I'd start talking back in Spanish and they're like, oh shit, we just spent 10 minutes talking about this white dude and he understood us.
it was funny. I was on a job site. This was years ago. And there's this guy, and he worked for this
nice
contractor.
Job, JC.
They did. What?
Sorry, JC and Chad just asked where the white woman at in Spanish. Okay, that was good. That deserves this.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Oh man.
So I worked with this guy. We were doing a bunch of door operators for him, and he was a sub on this big construction site, and they were doing all the doors and everything else, and his entire crew was Spanish. And you know, Hispanic and everybody, I don't know, they were from all over, but He had this total command of them, and he spoke fluent Spanish. I mean, and just had this total control over him. I was amazed by it. And I was talking to him about it. I was like, man, that's amazing that you speak Spanish that well. And he goes, I had to learn it. And he used Rosetta Stone. And he was like, when I got into this job, you know, I'd be directing them, and they could kind of understand me. But then they'd all be talking, and I didn't understand a word they were saying. He's like, so I started studying. And he said he started understanding what they were saying about him, but he let it go. And he let it go for months. And then one day, he just walked in for, you know, like the pre-job meeting and has all of his Mexican employees in front of him, and he did the entire meeting in fluent Spanish. He said they were all looking at him like, holy shit, we've been talking shit about him all this time and he speaks fluent Spanish.
Dude, yeah, no, seriously, I didn't even let the, like, I used to work a couple of different grocery stores in the area that were run by Mexicans, and I worked there for, like, weeks before I even let them know that I could speak and understand Spanish. So there were literally people that were walking by, pointing, laughing, talking shit as I'm doing my job, and then eventually one of them comes up and says something, and I answered them back in Spanish, and you could just, their eyes got as big as saucers. It was awesome. Speaking of which, I finally did fire up the synopsis I was looking for. The English the Spanish translation of "Where is the bathroom? I drank the water" would be "Dónde está el baño, baby, el agua."
Well, Good. Good to know.
So yeah.
Good to know.
Might want to put that one in your lexicon, but I don't advise.
Yeah.
I don't advise drinking the water.
I don't plan on going to Mexico. So.
Yeah.
I mean, number one. Either,
but still.
My wife won't set foot on an airplane, so I'm not driving to Mexico from North Carolina. So that leaves Mexico out. And number two, I don't really need to because I live in North Carolina and I have a huge coastline of some of the most beautiful beaches in the world. So why go to Mexico?
Whatever. Shut up, dude. Shut up, dude.
Yeah, but I do.
Nobody cares.
I do.
Starting to sound like a one percenter over there. Why do I need to go anywhere else? I already have beaches. Shut up.
Yeah, I got beaches, bitch.
Shut up.
And mountains.
And mountains? Nice.
And mountains. We actually like the mountains more than the beaches, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, no accounting
for the mountains here are beautiful.
No accounting for taste. I don't know. I actually, I live in a fairly flat state, so the things that they call mountains around here are basically molehills. I did spend a lot of time in the Pacific Northwest when I was a kid, though, so I actually like mountains.
Yeah, I mean, I've had people go, oh, yeah, really, North Carolina? Mountains, whatever, and then they come out here and they go, oh yeah, you actually do have mountains, don't you? I mean, they may not be West Coast mountains, but there's some pretty good mountains.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, we don't really, I mean, we technically have a mountain range here, but it's not anything that I would consider mountains.
Yeah, I mean, I got... I was driving home from Virginia after Christmas, probably like 5 years ago, and the interstate was closed because of an accident. You've seen it. I had my big old Silverado pickup truck, and I was driving switchbacks, real switchbacks. I mean, our mountains have real switchbacks, and switchbacks in a Chevy Silverado is not fun.
Ooh, wow. So did you hear Biden's big plan for gas prices?
Oh, which one? I mean, dude, you know what? Get the refineries to produce more?
Yeah, so there's that one.
That we don't have.
Yeah, so there's that one. So there's get the refineries to produce more when they're already at like 96% capacity, the ones that we have. Then earlier today, I heard him say, well, we need more refining capacity in this country, which is great because you've basically made it illegal to build any other refineries, but we need more refinery capacity. And just because he wants to make people feel like he's actually trying to do something, he's going to talk to Congress about repealing the gas tax for the rest of the summer.
Yeah. But wait, I thought the gas tax was like a green tax.
Well, you know, it's only for the summer, man. We'll be all right. But yeah, I mean, the thing that nobody really talks about is the federal gas tax is like less than 20 cents. Most state gas taxes are anywhere between 30 to 50 cents per gallon. I think New York is one of the highest ones, and it's like 46 cents a gallon.
Kemp in Georgia repealed the gas tax in Georgia for now.
Oh, I know. Stacey was bragging about that yesterday.
Come on, man. Everybody should ride a bike, man.
Pretty much.
I mean, if everybody just ride a bike, we wouldn't have this problem, man.
Well, yeah, but, you know, Joe Biden tried to show us that everybody should ride a bike, and look what happened.
What a maroon. And it's his handlers. It's like, okay, so everybody thinks that he just he's gone. So what we do while he's on vacation, we'll get him to ride his bike up, and we'll get him to ride his bike. Yeah, that backfired a little bit, didn't it?
Just a little bit. Faceplant seen around the world.
I'll admit, while he was actually riding the bike, I was like, that's pretty impressive. You know, he's almost 80 years old. He's riding that bike pretty good. But you have to be able to stop. You have to be able to actually stop.
Pretty much.
Without, you know, the Secret Service. I mean, did the Secret Service get him going first? Okay, Joe, here we go. We're holding the bike. You have to start pedaling. Here we go. Whee! You're going.
Oh, it's Jesus.
They're trying so hard. So hard to make it look like he's with it. And he's not with it.
All right. Well, hang on, because I have some audio I want you to listen to, and then you get to respond.
So for all those Republicans in Congress criticizing me today for high gas prices in America, are you now saying we were wrong to support Ukraine? Are you saying we were wrong to stand up to Putin? Are you saying that we would rather have lower gas prices in America and Putin's iron fist in Europe? I don't believe that.
Were you able to hear you? Okay, just checking.
I think that gas prices were up about $2 a gallon before the war.
Yeah, that's the part that he doesn't talk about. Gas prices were already going through the roof before the war. Yes, Russia's shenanigans didn't help. But you know who I blame for Russia being in Ukraine in the first place? The House Plant in Chief. You know why? Because as soon as he said that the pipeline was okay, they didn't need the Ukraine pipeline anymore. I mean,
we can take it even further than that. The pullout in Afghanistan told Putin, "Yeah, dude's weak. We're good." Dude is weak. And I wasn't a big fan of us still being in Afghanistan, but we had gotten down to the point where we had very limited presence in Afghanistan. Very limited. To pull out like that, pull out in the winter time. Because guess what? In the winter, nobody fights because it's cold.
Pretty much.
No, let's pull out in the summertime. Let's pull out. I'm just gonna pull everybody out in the summertime. Brilliant plan, dude. It's there is so many things. There are so many things that it's almost mind-boggling. Like I said, all the dude had to do was sit in the basement, eat cream of wheat, and watch Matlock. That's all he had to do. That's all he had to do. No policy, no nothing. Just sit and let everything come back up to normal. That's all he had to do. And he would have gone down in history as one of the greatest presidents ever because he would have had the greatest economic recovery in history.
I mean, he literally had all he had to do was what he's done for the last 50 years. Nothing. That's it. I mean,
exactly.
I do have two points of order. I'm pretty sure it would have been Murder, She Wrote, and Tapioca, but other than that, you were pretty spot on.
Yeah. Murder, She Wrote, and Tapioca, or Cream of Wheat, and Matlock. Either way, I mean, you know, all he does is go out there and talk. And, you know, it's no wonder that he couldn't even make it 2 years without White House press secretary because She's his wet nurse. He talks, and then the next day she's got to clean up his shit.
Pretty much.
And you know, do I like Jen Psaki? No. Do I think she's a pretty intelligent person? Yes. I'll be honest with you here. She's a good press secretary. She was a good press secretary. I mean, what's a press secretary's job? Literally to cover and lie for the president. She was good. She was very good at it. But she's his wet nurse. Literally, he goes out and shits the bed, and the next morning, she cleans the shit up. That's the job of the Biden press secretary. Now, I mean, with Trump had some extraordinary press secretaries. Trump's problem with his mouth was he knew what he was saying, and he said it anyway. Yeah. Biden's problem is he doesn't know what he's saying, and he says it anyway.
And he still doesn't care. So, I mean, here was Trump's problem. He knew what he was saying, he said it anyway, and he didn't care. Biden's problem, I have no idea what I'm saying, but I'm going to say it anyway because I just don't care. So, I mean, it's literally the flip side of the same coin.
Wait. You got that a little wrong. Biden's problem is, I don't know what I'm saying, I'm going to say it anyway. Where's the ice cream?
Good point. I'll let you have that one.
I mean, honestly, you look at when he talks to the press, he can't wait to get it done. He's just like, and I'll give you one. I need to get back to Murder, She Wrote. There's a marathon on. Really, I need to get out of here. I need to get out of here.
Excuse me, they have tapioca and Angela Lansbury waiting on me in the other room. I have to go.
Yeah, I mean, I saw footage this weekend, or yesterday, I guess. You know, he's on the beach in Rehoboth because he's on his little vacation. And he's talking to the press, and they're asking him hard questions, and he's having a hard time with it. And family member walks up. Come on. And he's like, okay, yeah, I'm coming. Yeah, yeah. His family is like, stop talking.
Yeah.
You were screwing yourself so bad. Stop talking.
The funny thing is, when I saw him on Rehoboth Beach, I was like, ooh, I've been to that exact spot before.
Yeah, Rehoboth, nice. My high school graduation spring break was in Rehoboth. Rehoboth's a nice beach.
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing for me because, you know, in Oakland,
even in high school, I had beaches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, so did I for junior high. But yeah, so anyway, that was kind of the weird thing for me. So I was born in Oklahoma, which huge state, moved to Seattle, which was Washington's fairly big state. Moved to Delaware, which is like a postage stamp, and yes, I know already Delaware is not real, but I live there, so I have to contest this. But that was the interesting thing for me, because where I went to junior high school, my science teacher won the Krista McAuliffe Award, and we actually got a satellite dish for our school, and then we also got one that we would travel to other schools to let people watch space shuttle launches. And I was one of the nerds that helped set stuff up when we traveled. So it was weird because for the first time ever, I was on a field trip for school and went to another state. I was like, what? Yeah, we went to Maryland because there was a high school there, and they were the next up on the rotation to get to watch the shuttle launch. So we drove to Maryland and I helped set everything up and got it all running and got to sit, and then when we were done there, we actually got to go to the Naval Academy, which was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
And by the way, I do, even though it's the, you know, vegetable in chief's home state, I love Delaware. Delaware's a great state.
Lots of good people there. I have good memories there. I was only there for about a year, but I really liked it there.
You know what really pissed me off?
What's that?
So when you buy a car in Delaware, there's no sales tax on it.
Uh-huh.
Right? So people in Maryland used to go to Delaware at all the time to buy cars.
Mm-hmm.
And then Maryland made a fucking law that if you bought a car in Delaware, you had to pay state sales tax in Maryland.
That doesn't really surprise me.
Yeah, I'm fucking assholes. Maryland is a beautiful shit state.
Yeah.
I lived there.
No, I know.
I paid federal income tax, state income tax, and county income tax.
Dude, that was, you know, the couple times that I've been to CPAC, there was one time that I went to a restaurant that was out, that was away from everything, and I never really paid that much attention before. So I'm looking at the receipt, and all of a sudden, there's like, there's state sales tax, there's county sales tax, there's city sales tax. I was like, what the fuck? I've been taxed like four times for a plate of eggs. Jesus.
I think I posted on Facebook a couple weeks ago, and I forget what state it was in, but there was like somebody went to a concert and their receipt from the concert had state income tax, and then it had local, like, you know, stadium tax, and then it had state income tax on the local stadium tax.
Nice. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Wrap your head around that one.
Well,
they were literally state taxed you on what you paid in taxes locally. After taxing you on the sales tax for the ticket you bought.
After taxing you for the money that you used to purchase the ticket in the first place. Anyway.
Right. So yeah, we're going to tax you on the sale, and then we're going to tax you on the stadium tax that you're paying.
Well, no, I mean, you're not taking this far enough back. So you're going to work to pay taxes to get money to buy tickets to pay taxes upon the taxes. Taxation is theft. But this brings me back, and anytime we start talking about
they pay taxes on the taxes on the taxes.
But anytime we start talking about this, I'm reminded of the Popeye live action movie with Robin Williams and Shelley Duvall, where the tax collector is going around and talking about all these things that we all laughed about at the time because they had convenience fees and this fee and that fee, and you look at us today and we have every single one of those fucking fees we used to laugh at.
Yeah. I mean, even during COVID, I mean, even here in Charlotte, there were certain places. It was like, so you have sales tax, and then you have, like, the COVID convenience tax because we're open. Like, what? What? So
we're in a pandemic and we're open, so we're taxing your ass.
I'm paying an extra tax to the city of Charlotte to cover what? Are you all putting out a bunch of ads telling me to wear a mask or something? Is that what it is? There was literally Charlotte had like a COVID convenience tax or something. It's like, what is this? Whatever. And it's why I, during COVID, I just started bringing my lunch every day. Because I was like, I'm not paying a COVID tax. I'm the one out here working while everybody else is at home, except for the people working in the restaurant that's actually open. but I have to pay a tax to go to the restaurant that's open. Whatever.
So
I'm just gonna eat my freaking spam sandwich. That's all I can afford.
Oh, you suck! Don't mention spam ever. Anyway, so
spam,
you know,
spam, delicious. By the way,
I'm gonna mute you, fucker.
Anyway. Hey, you know, I know you don't have it out there, but we have a chain here called Biscuitville.
Uh-huh.
And Biscuitville, their big thing right now is a spam egg and cheese biscuit.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me, because, like, McDonald's in Hawaii does that shit, because they apparently love spam out there. Like, they have a spam McMuffin and a spam egg and cheese biscuit. It's just weird. But, yeah, so...
Oh, absolutely they do. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Asians, my stepdaughter is really into Asian cooking and everything else. A lot of these Japanese and mostly Japanese recipes, like fried rice recipes and stuff like that, call for spam. They love it. They absolutely love it.
Gross. I see. That's. I guess at some point my taste buds must have changed, because I'm not gonna lie. I grew up third poor. I mean, there were nights that, you know, getting a what would have been like a 49-cent bean burrito at the time was like, you know, fine dining for us. So spam was something that was on my menu quite often. And I remember when I was a kid and I fried it up and it seemed like it always tasted like sausage. I tried some the other day. It wasn't even that long ago. It's probably been about 2 or 3 months ago. So I was like, you know, I haven't had this in forever. And I remember liking it when I was a kid. And we had a can and showed it hadn't expired, because I'm pretty sure that shit will outlive the cockroaches if we ever have a nuclear war. So I fried some up thinking, oh, it'll be all right. I'll just, you know, make some toast, throw some mayonnaise on the toast, and make a breakfast sandwich out of it. And yeah, I took one bite and was like, what the fuck was I thinking? Oh my God. Yeah, no, I can't do that anymore.
Really? Because I couldn't stand it 20 years ago, and now I love it.
But
it's gotta be crispy. It has to be crispy.
Well, see, that's the
thing. It can't be.
That's the thing. Taste buds change, though, because some of the things that I liked when I was a kid, I absolutely can't stand now. And some of the things that I hated when I was a kid, I absolutely love now. I used to hate black licorice. Apparently, I like it now. I don't know. I don't know when it happened, because I was eating something my kids gave me from their Halloween candy, and I was eating it after I checked it. I was in like a semi-dark place, and I didn't realize that one of the jelly beans was black licorice, and I put it in my mouth and started chewing on it, and I'm like, I'm not convulsing. What the hell? Because, yeah, it literally used to make me...
Well, hey, if you like black licorice, then I guess, you know, Jägermeister is your shit now.
I was going to say, honestly, I think that might have been what did it for me, because I had an impromptu bachelor party before my second wedding, because that was when we were working the clubs, and everybody made this big deal about making sure I got called into work, so I'd be like, wife's bitching at me, screaming, yelling, because she doesn't know, because, you know, ain't nobody going to tell her they're throwing me a bachelor party. So I'm, like, running out the door to get to work, because everybody's apparently calling in sick, so I'm showing up in full uniform, and all of a sudden, all these people start popping up, surprise, it's your bachelor party. I had Jello shots and Jaeger bombs for the entire fucking night. It's a good thing it was, like, 3 or 4 days before my wedding, because I was sick for 2 days afterwards.
Yeah, but Jägermeister, that's licorice. Everybody tries to tell me, oh, no, it's its own thing. And I take a shot of Jaeger, I'm like, yep, that's licorice.
Yeah, Jägermeister is basically black licorice flavor. Southern Comfort, which is actually supposed to be a mixture of some sort of fruit flavors, because the person that invented it didn't like how harsh whiskey tasted, tastes like you're drinking fucking NyQuil. So, no,
yeah.
Thank you.
No. We agree on that. I will say, in my youth, I liked Southern Comfort until I had that night.
Yeah, no.
When you have that night on Southern Comfort, you will never drink it again.
Well, I mean, we all have those kind of alcohols. For me, for the longest time, it was tequila. I couldn't drink tequila, and I've kind of beat that back again. But...
I'm a hot and cold. If I'm now, like my stepson, a couple weekends ago, turned 21, and he got a bottle of tequila, and I was good with it that night. Tequila is a hit or miss thing for me, and he was. The whole week before, he was like, "You're doing shots of tequila with me, right?" And I was like, "Look, dude, I gotta be in the mood. If I'm not in the mood for tequila, you can forget it." I was in the mood, did a couple shots with him, and it was great. But if I'm not in the mood for tequila, you can put it in front of my face, and all I have to do is sniff it. And I'm like, nope, not in the mood.
Yeah, I have a really good friend, and her favorite thing is Jose Cuervo, and I'm like, you're nuts. That's like rock gut tequila, dude.
I love Cuervo. But I have to be in the mood. But see, Cuervo makes the best. Oh, here we go. Cuervo makes Prairie Fire. Yeah. So you take Cuervo, you chill it, you put it in a shot glass, and you pour some. It's really supposed to be. Well, you pour hot sauce on top of it, and then you shoot it, and the hot sauce floats on top of it.
Oh, nice.
And then you shoot it. It's supposed to be Tabasco. I don't like Tabasco, so I use something else. But then you shoot it, and it's really good. But you said rot gut? Yeah, that'll rot your gut right there. That will rot your gut right there. Some Cuervo with hot sauce. But, yeah, Prairie Fire is a really good shooter. Yeah. And when you chill the tequila and then you pour the hot sauce in there, the hot sauce floats right on top of it. So you hit it, and the hot sauce goes down, then the tequila goes behind it, and then you hit it with a freaking lime behind it, and it's delicious. It'll burn you up, but it's delicious.
I can imagine.
Oh boy! So now we just, you know, let's do a once a week show. Best shooters.
Well, I mean, if we're going to do that, we got to bring Aggie on. She's the bar babe.
Oh wow!
We can actually do a weekly segment, best shooters.
Mischievous bitch. Telling you. Chilled Courvoisier and Cointreau with a sugared lemon on the side. You can sit in a bar stool and hit four or five of those and you feel just fine. And as soon as you stand up, you're ready to fall over. That's why they call it a mischievous bitch.
Nice. That actually sounds good, though.
Been there. Been there and done that, and it's a fantastic tasting shooter. A very expensive one because it's Courvoisier and Cointreau, but.
Well, my friend, we've done almost 40 minutes commercial free, and I know you have an early morning, I'm sure. We've done
40
minutes. Hour and 40 minutes. Oh, yeah. 40
minutes. We've done an hour and 40 commercial free. And yeah, I got to get up and go back tomorrow.
I'm thinking we should probably get ready to call it a night. So there will be no Robinson, or there'll be no Rick and Ordy tonight, because I'm pretty sure Ordy already went to bed anyway, and there's only like 20 minutes left in our normal time slot. So he's probably already in bed.
Sorry, Ordy.
It's all good. I actually already talked to him because I was like, if he's running long, you want me to just bring you in? We can do the show together. And he's like, nah, he's had 4 years off. Let him roll.
Yeah, I rolled.
And rolled.
We went from the country's falling apart to,
let's get drunk.
What's the best shooter you ever done?
Well, I mean, if the country's falling apart, that's my answer. Let's get drunk. Just saying.
Yeah. Well, okay. I've got like 2 sips of beer left, so it's probably a good time to end it because I don't need another one. That's for sure.
No, you don't need another one, and I've got a couple things I got to wrap up before I get ready for bit anyway. So let's go ahead and get things knocked off here in just a second. So, well, I don't know. Do you give people your Facebook, or is Facebook only for people that you know?
Yeah, I mean, Well, the Dan Wright page is a public page.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'm just making sure, because I know you can't give out Twitter, because, you know, Elon still hasn't unbanned you yet.
If things turn around, I may end up back on Twitter, but right now,
you and your 20 million accounts.
Honestly, I love Twitter, but I really just got sick of having to make a new account every 2 days.
Yeah, well, hopefully, eventually, free speech will be a thing on there again, but who knows. Anyway, folks, we are going to get out of here. I'm Rick. He's Dan. We'll be back next week. I'll be back, hopefully, tomorrow night with Jen, but I'm not sure, because I know they were going out to the College Baseball World Series, and I don't know how long they plan on staying. So I will have to touch base with her. Since I didn't do a Rails tonight, if she's busy, I may do one tomorrow. But if you still can't get enough of me, you can always go check out the Rick Robinson show I did last night with our resident disclaimer babe, Leslie, and her friend Paul. They spent an hour and a half talking Juneteenth and a bunch of other stuff, so you can go find that if you really want more to listen to. And then Ordy and I will be back Friday night with Juxtaposition, and I believe West Coast BS will be on in front of us, hopefully, because I have to be there if they are. So it doesn't work if I'm not there. And this is Ordy's off week, so I guess tomorrow night will be Disasters in the Making with Brad and Movie Paul. But we are going to get out of here. Thank you guys for joining us. Sorry for the abbreviated evening, but I had something come up right after I got off work that had to be dealt with. And then Dan and I went long, so no Ordy. But we'll get it figured out eventually, maybe. You guys have a good night. Bye.